Our reading this morning is from John chapter 20, and that can be found in the church Bibles on page 1089. John chapter 20, and we're starting at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking it was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Great. Thanks, Hannah, for reading that incredible bit of the Bible. And now we're going to look at that together. Just while some of our props come on screen with Pete and Paul, let's ask for God's help as we look at the Bible together. Let's say a prayer. Let's put our hands together and bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank you so much for the Bible where we find out the truth about you. Please help us to know you better as we read it today. Amen. Great. Well, Easter is a time full of surprises. I don't know what surprises you might have had this Easter or have coming. Some of you were surprised that Chelsea lost at Stamford Bridge yesterday. Others are surprised, where will the chocolate eggs be? Maybe they'll be hiding in the garden and you've got to go around trying to find them. How many eggs will you get? What will be inside the chocolate egg? Will there be some chocolates in there? How quickly can you eat it? That's sometimes a surprise to me. But the first Easter had the biggest surprise of your life. It changes your life, this surprise. And it was all about what's behind that stone in front of the tomb. Now, just imagine you didn't know much about Easter, and you looked around at how people in Preston celebrate Easter, and you had to guess what must have been behind the stone in front of the tomb. I think maybe you might think there was a giant bunny, a real live bunny, but enormous. Or maybe you think that there was a huge chocolate egg, so big you could hide in it. Or I had a great idea for what might have been behind it. A ball pool, but instead of balls, Easter eggs. That would have been an amazing surprise, wouldn't it, to find it. But actually, what they found behind the stone in the tomb, what they found there, was far more surprising than that, and far more life-changing than that. It's far better news than that. And it was, drum roll, excitement. What was it? Amazing, good drum roll. Nothing! There was nothing there! There was nobody there, and it's absolutely amazing news. So why was it such a surprise for those first followers to find an empty tomb? To find that there was no person there. Well, first, I've got two reasons. The first reason is that the Easter story is proof. That's why this is such a life-changing surprise. The Easter story is proof. Jesus had to die. We've learned about why Jesus had to die on our holiday club this week. We all are sinners. We commit sin. And sin is when we say to God, shove off God, go away from me. We say, shove off God, I'm in charge. No to your rules. That's how we've all treated God. But God loves us with a never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love. And so he gave his son to come into the world, to die on the cross, to deal with our sin for us. Jesus had to come and die. But when Jesus died on the cross, it was so that if we believe in him, we can have forgiveness and we can have life from God. We can have eternal life. But what happened when Jesus died to the disciples? Can anyone remember what happens to the disciples? Are there crowds and crowds of people who believe in Jesus as he dies on the cross? People remember what happens? The disciples just run away. They desert Jesus. So the big thing that has to happen, Jesus die, doesn't actually make people believe in Jesus. And so John tells us what happened on the third day so that we can believe. In fact, John tells us why he wrote his book at the end of the chapter we've had read for us. It's going to come on the screen. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So John writes evidence so that we can believe and have life. And that's why he tells us about this big surprise on the third day, because the Easter story is proof so that we can believe. Now, there are four different facts I want us just to think about quickly about why the Easter story is proof. The first one is this surprise of nothingness, the empty tomb. But actually, the empty tomb wasn't enough for the followers to say, Jesus is alive, and go out into the world telling people about him. In fact, they were quite confused. Let me just read again what happened when Mary found the empty tomb. She saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance, verse 2. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So she doesn't think, oh, Jesus is alive again, because he's missing. She thinks, they've taken him away. She's confused. So we need to find out what the second fact is. The second fact is that inside the tomb, it wasn't fully empty, was it? They found the grave clothes. They found the cloths that they had wrapped Jesus in, Jesus' dead body in. They found them in the tomb. And we see how important that is to John, who wrote this book, who was with Peter, because he says that when he saw the grave clothes, he believed. That's when he realized Jesus is not dead. He's alive. Let's have a look again at what happened. Mary tells John and Peter, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and they leg it. They go as fast as they can, but when you're going as fast as you can, you're not normally as quick as each other. And it turns out that that's what happens on the way. So, both were running, but the other disciple, John, outran Peter. John's the faster runner, and he reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. So do you see what he saw that made him believe? He saw the grave clothes, and he realized Jesus is alive. Now, don't you think it's really interesting that the grave clothes were there? Because last week on our holiday club, we looked at what happened earlier on, just a short time before Jesus died, when his friend Lazarus died. And Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus came out. Now, does anyone remember what Lazarus looked like when he came out of the tomb? Yeah?
Lots of clothes on.
Lots of clothes on. Thanks, Toby. That's brilliant. We had a brilliant artistic impression of that from one of our groups on Holiday Club. Here's Lazarus coming out of the tomb. He's got the grave clothes on. And yet John and Peter find Jesus' grave clothes separate. And that shows us that Jesus coming back to life was different to Lazarus coming back to life. You see, when Lazarus came back to life, it's like he went into death and Jesus called him back out again. And he came out of death to be alive. But one day, Lazarus died. And he's not alive today for us to meet him. But when Jesus rose again, the grave clothes are still there because Jesus will never die again. He's gone through into death and out the other side. He's alive and he'll always be alive with that body. And John and Peter saw that. That's the second fact, the grave clothes. Okay, so the third fact that John tells us about, for us to know that the Easter story is proof, is that it was already promised in the Bible. The third fact is the scriptures, the Bible. And we get that in verse 9. They're all confused, they see the grave clothes, and then John just tells us in brackets, he tells us in verse 9, they still did not understand from scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So they should have known from the Old Testament, from the Bible that had already been written, that it had been promised. God says it's all part of his plan. Jesus has to rise from the dead. So just put your thinking caps on. Don't worry, I'm not going to test you. But just put your thinking caps on and think, where would I go in the Bible, grown-ups as well, where would you go in the Bible to show a friend who's not a believer that the Bible promises that Jesus rises from the dead? He has to rise from the dead. Because clearly that's very important to John. The reason they're confused is they hadn't yet realized. And we can understand that the Bible promised Jesus had to rise from the dead. Let me show you some examples. One is Isaiah, the prophet, 700 years before Jesus came. Isaiah promised why Jesus would die in chapter 53. He says that Jesus would be pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. So he describes Jesus' death. And then, it's really interesting, Isaiah, he doesn't use the word resurrection, which was our Bible word that we learned this week about Jesus coming back to life. Isaiah doesn't use the word resurrection. He just tells us that he has seen the one who has died alive again. Let's have a look at the verse. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. 700 years before Jesus came, Isaiah promising, I've seen him alive again. Next one, you could have gone to Psalm 16, a psalm written by David, but all about Jesus, where the psalm is fulfilled in Jesus, and it says this, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. That's Psalm 16. You could also have gone to Psalm 110, to Psalm 22, to 2 Samuel chapter 7. The promises are there in the Bible that Jesus has to rise from the dead. So that's our third fact, is scripture. And our fourth fact is then that Jesus is seen alive again. The first person we learn about in John who sees Jesus alive again is Mary. She's still at the tomb. Let's just go back to where she's at the tomb. Yeah, previous slide. Next one. Let me read it for us while we find our way. Oh, there it is. Great. So, verse 14. At this, Mary turned round and saw Jesus. And then in verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. She's realized that it's Jesus that she's seen. And then, of course, she goes to see the disciples and she says, I've seen the Lord. So Jesus is seen by Mary, and then he's seen by all the disciples. They see him. And then Thomas isn't there, and he sees him a week later. And the Bible tells us that he's seen by over 500 people alive again. These people all saw Jesus alive after he died so that we can believe. So the Easter story is proof. Proof so that we can trust him. And if you believe, if you trust Jesus, then you get life. Life knowing God now as your personal God, who is your saviour and your rescuer and your God to know. And life that lasts forever, even after you die. Just like Jesus has been through death and out the other side, the grave clothes are still there. He promises that if you trust him, he'll do the same for you. And one day he'll bring you out of death to live with him forever. So the challenge for us is, do you believe this? And I think we need to be careful of people saying, of course Jesus didn't rise from the dead, because people don't rise from the dead. It's not possible. That's a very silly thing to say, because if God really is there and wants us to know him, and Jesus rose from the dead, if you say it's impossible, then no matter how much evidence you see, you'll never accept it. No, we need to be people who look at that evidence for ourselves and see how clear it is so that we can trust him. The tomb was empty. Remember the grave clothes that they saw. Remember him being seen alive again. Remember that it was promised in the Bible. And if you're someone here who says, well, I still think it's impossible, I don't believe it. It's interesting, John describes how Jesus talked about people at the time who wouldn't believe in him, even though the evidence was there. And he said it was because they didn't want to believe him. He said he was light coming into the world, but men and women love darkness instead of light. And so they choose not to believe in him. So we all need to ask ourselves, if we're struggling to believe, is it that you can't believe in Jesus, or is it that you won't believe in him? Is it that you can't, or is it that you won't? But if we are willing to believe because of all these facts, then it really is the surprise that changes your life. It's wonderful that it's true. It means that goodness wins in our world. It means that there really will be a happy ending to our world, because death won't have the last word. It means that God really does love us with that never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love, because he sent Jesus to die and rise again. It sounds too good to be true, but it is true, and it changes your life. So the Easter news is proof. And secondly, the second reason why Easter is a great surprise is that the Easter news is personal. The Easter news is personal. Let's think about Mary again and what it was like for her on that first morning. She stays outside the empty tomb when Peter and John leave, and she cries. She's so upset, she's so sad, that she doesn't realize Jesus is just behind her. And then in verses 14 and 15, she still doesn't realize Jesus is with her. Let me read that for us. Verse 14, she says, they've taken my Lord away. And verse 14, at this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him. You see how upset she is? And she thinks that the man she's met is the gardener. She doesn't realize that Jesus is right there with her. I think lots of people are like that today. They don't realize Jesus is right there with them. The facts are right in front of her, but it's as though in her brain, she just can't put the facts together and see it's true. Jesus is alive after he's died. And then she realizes, bang, verse 16, she realizes. Verse 16, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Can you imagine how happy she must have been? I think to understand what it meant to Mary, we should just think of a couple of examples of what it must have been like. Does anyone here have a favourite teddy bear or a favourite cuddly toy? A few hands going up for people having a favourite teddy bear. Some of the grown-ups not admitting it. Let me show you mine. This is Bunny Rabbit. Bunny Rabbit is exactly the same age as me. Comes from Germany. And he's my favourite soft toy. But you know what? When I was little, we went camping. And I lost Bunny Rabbit for a long time. And my mum and dad knew how much Bunny Rabbit meant to me. And we searched high and low everywhere when we got back. We turned the house upside down. And I thought Bunny Rabbit was lost forever. And then the next summer, when we went into the caravan and we went camping, I unrolled my bed and Bunny Rabbit was there. And I was reunited with Bunny Rabbit, and I just held on to him. I was so happy because I thought he was lost and I found him. What about a better example, an example of a real person? How many of you have ever lost your mummy or daddy in the supermarket? Or how many of you grown-ups have ever lost your children in the supermarket? That is a scary thing. I remember once I had to go to the lady with the tannoy at Morrison's and ask them to find Grandar, because I couldn't find him, and I got lost. And it's so scary because all the aisles are so big and you can't find them. And then when you find your mum or your dad, how happy are you? You just hold on to them like you're never going to let go because you thought they were lost. And then you found them again. You cling on to them. And that's what we see with Mary. When she sees Jesus alive again, she doesn't just think, oh, that proves it. She's overwhelmed and she grabs hold of Jesus and she hugs him and she holds him so tight as though she's never going to let go because she loves him and she's got him back. So in verse 17, Jesus has to say to her, doesn't he? Jesus said, do not hold on to me. You see, he's saying, don't keep clinging to me. You don't have to do that anymore because I'm back. And that's not just true for Mary. That's true for anybody who wants to be a friend of Jesus today. Because this is what Jesus says to her, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now, what does Jesus mean there? Well, the reason why Mary doesn't have to hold on to him is because when he goes into heaven, which he's done now, to be with his Father in heaven, he sends his Spirit into the world so that everybody can know Jesus personally by turning to Jesus, by his Spirit. So we don't need to cling on to his body because we can know him by his Spirit. Jesus is alive in heaven and we can have a relationship with him. We can be friends with him by his Spirit. Now, I don't know whether you've ever thought about how amazing that is, but it is so much better than any other hero you could ever have. Some of you might have heroes, but personal relationships with heroes are really difficult. One of my favorite superhero is Batman. But it's interesting that with Batman, I can't know him because he's not real, but with Batman, even in the stories about Batman, one of the really frustrating things for people he rescues is he disappears. And one of the big characters in Batman, one of the women who really likes Batman and she keeps getting saved by him, is Selina Kyle. I don't know whether you remember her from the comics, but Selina Kyle really likes Batman and he keeps rescuing her when she gets into trouble. And she turns around and he's gone. And she wants to get to know him and she can't because he's a superhero. Well, Jesus is so much better than that because he saves us and then we can know him. What about if your hero is a real life famous person? If your hero is a real life famous person, you can't get to know them either. I just joined a thing called Twitter. Do you know what Twitter is? Put your hand up if you know what Twitter is. Okay, some of the grown-ups don't know what Twitter is. So Twitter is you go on it and you sign up on the internet and then these famous people write things about what they're doing and you can follow them. And one of my heroes is Gary Lineker. If I saw Gary Lineker in the street, I think I'd kiss him. It's probably good that I haven't seen him for that goal against Argentina. But anyway, Gary Lineker, I joined Twitter. First person I signed up for was Gary Lineker. And now I know what Gary Lineker's thinking. He tells me what he's doing. But I tell you what, Gary Lineker, he's not following me. He's not even looked at mine. And the truth is, I know what he's doing, but I don't really know him. He's not my friend. He doesn't even know who I am. That's the problem with famous people who you want to get to know. But with Jesus, it's so much better because he's alive, he's gone to heaven, and we can know him by his Spirit personally. We can know the one who died for us because he loves us that much, the one who rose again and went into heaven to make a way there, and one day is going to take us there to be with him forever. And the way we get to know him is by reading our Bible so that we hear him speak to us, and by talking to him in our prayers. So those are our two life-changing surprises from Easter. The Easter story is proof that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Proof that he's in charge of the world. Proof that we'll all meet him one day, either as our judge, because he's in charge, or as our saviour and brother, because we trust him. Proof we can believe in. And the Easter story is personal. It's about whether you personally believe in Jesus and get to know him yourself. So which of those is a challenge for you this morning? Because it doesn't matter whether you're 3 years old or you're 103 years old or something in between, we all need to be challenged by those two messages this morning. What about that first point? The Easter story is proof. Maybe you're somebody, I know people who are trying to be a Christian and they're trying to work on their relationship with Jesus, but they worry that it's not true. And the message of Easter is, stop spending your time worrying about whether or not it's true, because it is true. Jesus is alive. Maybe you're somebody here who still isn't sure at all whether it's true. Well, could I urge you, please, to follow up on what we've heard this morning, what we're looking at, by spending time with us at All Saints and looking at the evidence that Jesus is alive again. We've got some events coming up in a couple of weeks' time. We've got some great events for grown-ups, an illusion night. We've got a sports person, Debbie Flood, an Olympic medal winner, coming to talk about herself being a Christian over dinner. Why don't you join us for those events so that you can look yourself into the proof, the evidence that Jesus is alive again? But what about that second challenge, that the Easter story is personal? Are you somebody who knows a lot about Jesus, a lot of facts in your head? Maybe someone who knows all the answers at junior church, but you haven't actually made it personal by asking Jesus yourself, please forgive me and help me to live for you from now on. Thank you that you died for me. Are you someone who needs to spend more time building that relationship to experience knowing God personally through Jesus? You know, I've got a couple of friends who grew up learning about Jesus. They would have known all the answers at Sunday school, and they at one stage would have said it was true, but they never made it personal, and so they don't think that Jesus is good news, and they don't go to church, and they don't work on a relationship with him because they never made it personal for themselves. It's so important that we make it personal. And every relationship takes time. We have to spend time nurturing our relationship with Jesus. If you just know the facts and you haven't asked Jesus to come into your life, the facts are no use to you at all. And just think, all of us, if we're going to spend forever and ever in heaven with God, and the highlight of being in heaven is that we'll know God, will we not look back and think it was really weird that we spent so little of our time in the world reading our Bible and praying to God to build our relationship with him now? I think we're going to think that's really weird when we get to heaven. Let's put that right. Jesus offers a true life of knowing God personally now through him. Let's accept the proof and make it personal so that the news of Easter this year is at the very center of our lives from now on. Let's pray together. Let me say a prayer for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that Jesus is alive. We thank you that it is a surprise that changes our life, just like it changed the lives of Mary and Thomas and those first followers. Please help us to trust the facts. And please help us to build our personal relationship with you this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.